Hey, Warheads, this is another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name is Jonathan, and I am joined today by Chris, Chip, and Carmella. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Jonathan.
Man, it's good to be back. I feel like we haven't done this in a while.
We stopped like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. That is probably why it feels that way.
Every minute without trivia is a minute wanting trivia. Is that kind of where you're at?
It makes my heart sad when there's no trivia.
Okay. So, I think this episode, if I'm not crazy, I might be crazy and these are all jumbled up.
You are crazy.
But it's possible that this is our last episode before New Year's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good possibility.
This is either right before or right after New Year's.
Okay.
So, Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, everybody.
You bet.
From Trivial Warfare.
Has anybody ever had a fun New Year story of any sort at all?
Not one that I can tell without incriminating myself.
I knew I was stretching.
No, wait, I really want to hear
this
story.
One. Yes.
There's no judging here on Trivial Warfare.
Oh, no, there is one that's funny that's just because it's stupid people doing stupid things.
Excellent. I like that. Let's hear it.
All right. So New Year's, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, I was at a party, and one of the hosts of the party and another friend of ours had Roman candles.
Uh-oh.
Not Greek, but
not
Roman.
Not Greek candles, but Roman candles.
Gotcha.
And they decided that it'd be a good idea to have a Roman candle fight in the street.
Like shooting them at each other, like, with a straw or a bottle or something?
Well, just straight from the Roman candle.
Okay.
So, you know, because it's...
Oh, that's not a bottle rocket. That's a different... That's right, a... It's a thing you hold and it shoots
like
stuff
like
out.
Yeah,
it shoots like a little mortar out.
Okay.
And,
a mortar.
Well, I don't know exactly actually, what it's called, but...
No, that's actually a fair description.
So... These two aren't the brightest crayons in the tool shed, so...
Okay, how many analogies were in that?
A lot.
Okay.
So, you know, they're, you know, firing back and forth, and, you know, they're missing each other, and one friend points at the other friend and fires, and it hits him in the eyebrow.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
Woof.
And you could hear it, because we're all standing in the front yard, they're in the street, and we could actually hear it hit his face. And I were like, oh, God. So we all ran over to him, and he had burned half his eyebrow.
I'm going to take a wild guess here. There was adult beverages involved in this.
You know, I think that's safe to assume if there's New Year's. If there's fireworks, there's probably alcohol.
Mm. Fair point. Fair point.
So lesson learned is...
Don't fire Roman candles at each other.
I was going to say, don't let somebody hit you in the face with not a Roman candle.
Yeah, I guess that's a good lesson too. Duck.
Duck, yeah, don't let your eyebrow get burned off.
You know,
how'd he look with only half an eyebrow?
It actually improved his face.
Did he shave the rest of it?
No, he didn't. But it did improve his look.
Wow.
He looked a little more like Sloth from the Goonies.
Rocky Road, chocolate, Ruth, baby, baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
All right, Chris, warming us up, baby.
All right. Well, this actually is one of my favorite questions in warming up Chris style. So we're going back. We're dipping into my TV roots here. These are based on TV show pets. I'm going to give you the pet name, and then you give me who the owner of that pet was. So, for example, if it was Lassie, you would say Timmy, or who was that other crazy person?
The first one was Jeff.
Jeff, okay. So
is that Mutton Jeff?
No, nice. No. It actually was a Mutton Jeff.
And John Provost played Timmy.
Oh, I have geez. No idea who that is.
Okay.
All
What's
right.
that, Lassie? Timmy's fallen into the well
yes.
again?
Arf, arf.
Okay. So the first one is Paul and Jamie Buckman and Mad About You.
This is the warming up Chris question?
Yes. This is the first one.
They had
I don't
a dog?
Know.
Yes. Paul and Jamie Buckman had a dog on the TV show Mad About You. What was the dog's
What's
name?
What's that dog's name? Hank Azaria was the dog walker.
Yes, he was.
Is that a euphemism?
No, he actually walked a dog.
Yeah, it's a euphemism for Helen Hunt's husband.
Oh, at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, at the time.
So I don't know the answer at all.
I have no idea.
I have no guess.
All right. Carmella? His name was Murray.
Murray.
Oh, I've heard Murray before.
All right. The next one is Martin Crane's dog on
Frasier.
I
knew you were going to say Frasier.
Oh, that's a cute dog.
Well, I know the answer.
I know the type.
All right. What do you think the answer is?
What was it? Was it a Jack Russell?
Yeah, Jack Russell.
Eddie. What was the name of the dog?
Right? Eddie.
All right, Eddie. What? You guys agree?
I agree.
Sure.
All right, Eddie is correct. Next is Fred and Wilma Flintstone.
Dino.
Dino.
That's right. All right.
Unless
Dino,
you want the
technically,
yellow one.
Dino was not a dog.
It was a pet. Pet.
But you said pet. You said pet.
I said pet. That's
you
right.
Did. You did.
All right. George and Jane Jetson.
Right a boy, George.
Oh, Rastro.
Rastro.
Astro.
Astro. Astro. George.
Rastro.
What about Peter Griffith on Family Guy?
Brian the dog.
Brian the dog.
Brian the dog is correct. Rowdy. J.D. Dorian and Christopher Turk's stuffed dog on Scrubs.
You want to know what Rowdy's pet's name is?
Oh, I goofed it up. Darn it. That was such a good question. I messed it up. Rowdy from Scrubs. Oh, man. All right.
I was like, what do you want us to do with that?
Well, there was a second Rowdy.
Rowdy had a pet?
That sucks. Okay. The Simpsons dog on The Simpsons.
Santa's Little Helper.
Santa's Little Helper.
All right. Santa's Little Helper is
wow,
correct.
Guys.
What was Sabrina the Teenage Witch's cat's name?
Salem.
Salem.
Salem is correct. And finally, what was Rick Porter's pet's name?
It was Rick Porter.
What show is that?
I can't tell you because that will tell you the pet's name.
What show is named after a pet? Beethoven?
That was a movie.
Alf.
Actually,
that's Eddie.
Jay, I was gonna say Jonathan could tell you all about Alf.
Hey Eddie, where's the cat?
I thought it was Willie.
Yeah, it is Willie.
Willie. Why am I saying Eddie?
I don't know.
Oh, we're so out of sorts right now.
You and I have had this conversation before,
and you do a great job
of
sounding
like
Alf.
You did sound like Alf.
So
that
again,
was great.
Rick Porter,
Turner and Hooch.
That was a movie.
I'm trying to think of a show named after an animal.
Ren 10-10.
Okay, we got a Ren 10-10.
Benji the Hunted.
Okay, that was a movie, but sure. Carmela, do you have anything?
Short Circuit?
I got nothing, dude.
Answer is Flipper.
They called him Flipper,
faster than lightning.
Wow.
All right, so now we've got a different kind of show today. Jonathan, you want to tell everybody about it?
That's right. This is going to be an all-American history show. So right now, Chip is lining up his questions. Chip is a history major in a previous life.
That's right.
And a current life.
Prides himself. Well, yeah, but he's old, so you stop.
Aw.
Wow.
It's okay. He calls me a baby all the time.
I was going to say, Jonathan is rather ageist.
If you
he is rather ageist.
Chip's age. I'm sorry. If you subtract Carmela's age from Chip's age, you might get my age.
That's
wow.
About right. Yeah.
What is, out of curiosity, how old? 60?
I am 63 years old.
28. What's 63 minus 28? 55, 45, 35. I'm 4 years off. I'm 39.
I actually want to let you know the age difference between me and my sister is higher than the age difference between me and you.
Okay.
So.
That's not that. Our age difference is 12 years? 12 years.
No, it's 11 years.
I'm not good at math. But.
I'm 12 years older than
you.
You're
more than double her age. So now. Again, I say, I can make these age jokes. You're the baby,
you're
and he's
ageist.
The grandpa.
You're an ageist.
I'm a realist.
I am the grandpa, and I love the idea.
There's nothing wrong with
and
that.
And incidentally,
I didn't say it was bad.
In a year from February, I'll be on Medicare.
Woohoo!
So I am a little jealous.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so. And
you get discounts at Denny's.
Well, and also there's a little bit different of a part of this episode, too. For the first time, there's three single participants going at it.
Actually, did I ever say what we're doing with this episode?
You really did not. So
let's try again.
All right.
So today we're going to do an all-American history episode. All of the questions are going to be based on American history. Now, that could be pre-constitutional history, but it's all American history. And Chip's asking the questions because he has a background in history from his days of yore in the educational system.
Right.
Now, we have three contestants today. Chris, obviously.
Hi.
Jonathan. Obviously. And Carmela.
Not quite as obviously.
Our sometimes host and sometimes teammate is now going to be on her own team because she wants to play with the big boys.
There you go. And she's rolled up her sleeve. She's ready to rock and roll. I'm afraid.
You didn't like my big boys joke there?
Well, I didn't.
Oh, nice. I just got it because our fantasy football team is the big boys.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have gotten
big
that
boys.
At all.
All right. So let's kick this off. All
right,
Chip. It's all you.
All right, folks. And the first category of questions is going to be pre-America, meaning U.S. of A, basically pre-Revolutionary War.
Okay, so all three questions
all
for the first round?
All three questions are going to be pre-American Revolutionary War.
Okay.
The first question is, what is the oldest permanent European settlement in the United States, continental United States?
Locked in.
You're thinking about a 3-2-1?
I was thinking about a 3-2-1.
Let me think for a second before we do it.
Okay. Yeah, because
the keyword is permanent.
It could be tricky. Wow, you guys are staring at me weird.
I'm not even looking at you.
It looks like you're looking at me.
I was looking at a star.
It's looking through you.
I've got my Christmas decorations up.
I see that, yes.
Very
it's
nice,
it's finally
too.
Cycled back. It was, I mean, a couple days ago was Thanksgiving decorations. His Thanksgiving stockings.
You got them up early. That's good. You know?
Yeah.
Have them for the whole season.
365 days early.
I'm going to write it down just because I may be wrong, and I'm rather not do a 3-2-1 and be wrong.
Okay. I'm right. I've already written mine down, too. So.
Okay. So have you written yours down?
Yes, I have.
And Chris, you're doing it now?
Actually, it's already written. I was just drawing lines.
So I'm struggling between... I know Roanoke was one of the first, and that was not permanent. I know Jamestown was one of the first, but that was not permanent either. I think it's St. Augustine, and that would not surprise me if Chip went with St. Augustine for his first question, because we are in Florida. So I'm going to say St. Augustine.
Okay. Carmela, what'd you get?
I did say St. Augustine.
Oh, nice. Okay, I'm the only one that went Jamestown.
St. Augustine.
All right.
Yes. Saved you from a 3-2-1.
It would have been Jacksonville if Fort Caroline hadn't burned down.
Well, Fort Caroline burned down because of the folks from St. Augustine.
It's true.
We still haven't forgiven you, St. Augustine. We'll be back.
Okay. Now, the next question has to do with the first Thanksgiving. I want you to tell me in what location did the first Thanksgiving allegedly occur. And you can tell me a colony name, or you can tell me a current state name if you want to.
So which colony or state did the first Thanksgiving meal occur in?
Yes.
Ooh, boy. Okay.
I wrote something down.
Already?
In. Well, you guys were talking a little.
What about you, Chris? Did you write something down?
I have something in my head, but I'm just all right, not confident.
I'm not either.
Especially after that St. Augustine thing. My game got thrown.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. It's just it got thrown. I'm trying to look for it.
Mm.
Is that underneath your shoe, Carmela?
Rambo might be eating it.
My shoes are over there.
Rambo's eating your game, Chris.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Rambo just spit it up with a hairball.
Ouch. Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay, so my first instinct was Virginia. It's a lot of firsts in Virginia. But then just at the last second, I was starting to write something else down because I know that I have a book over here that I'm not looking at called I don't remember what it's called.
It's called something.
If I looked at it, I'd be able to tell you. It's Mayflower or something like that, right? And I remember learning that they landed in the Cape Cod area or the Cape, I think it's Cape Cod. Around Massachusetts. And I think that group was the first one to deal with the Indians and have that Thanksgiving. So I'm going to say Massachusetts.
Okay. I went Virginia. It just sounded about right. I actually was originally going to go Roanoke, Virginia, but he said I don't have to do he was looking for the state potentially. I'd rather do the state and just kind of generalize it around there. So
I said Massachusetts.
The answer is Massachusetts.
Man, wow.
So I want to recommend a book to you guys. It is called Mayflower by Nathan Philbrick.
Oh, yes. Know Philbrick. Him well. He's written a lot of other books, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. This is a great book. This is actually the reason I got that answer right was this book.
Yeah, I'd like to read it.
It talks about the founding of Plymouth Colony. It talks about the first Thanksgiving. It talks about King Philip's War, which is the key historical event after the Thanksgiving that really does a lot to determine how our relations with the Indians would go moving forward. And so this book is called Mayflower, Nathaniel Philbrick. Fantastic book. It's a question two coming up.
No, that's question,
was question
three.
Two.
Question three.
Question three. Tell me the name of the little girl that is thought to have survived the disappearance of the Roanoke colony.
Okay, I'm going to write an answer down.
I'm glad to see you finally a little stumped, Carmela, because you were, those first two questions, I was like, well, crud, I'm just going to bow out and go get a snack.
I'm really surprised you missed St. Augustine.
I don't know what I was thinking. It's just one of those things.
It was the word permanent was the key, I think.
Yeah. I thought Chris would be the one that would nail it, and maybe the other two of you would have a little bit of an issue with it.
Yep. All right, sorry. So this question. Roanoke and a girl. Mm-hmm. I'm locked in with an answer.
Do we have to give a first and last name?
I think last name, long as it's not Smith or Jones.
No, last name's fine.
Okay.
See, it's funny. I think I got the first name, but I can't remember. I can't think of the last name to save my life. All right. I'm writing an answer down, so. Okay, go ahead.
Carmela?
Man, if you had asked me what was carved into the tree, I would have known that one.
What was carved into the tree? I don't know.
It says, this is a tree.
No, Croatoan is what was carved into the tree.
That's right. That's right. I do remember that now.
But I couldn't tell you what the girl's name is.
Krakatoa?
No, not Krakatoa. Croatoan. I don't know. I'm Mary Anderson.
All right. So I don't think I'm going to get it right either. But there's one girl whose name is associated with Roanoke, and so that's what I'm going with. I'm going with Virginia Dare.
No, that's a really good answer. Now that you say that name, it kind of hits home and makes sense. But the answer I wrote down was Prudence Smith.
Prudence Smith?
Yes.
Okay, so we have Mary Anderson, Virginia Dare, and Prudence Smith. Chip, what's the answer?
Correct answer is Virginia Dare.
All right.
Wow.
So she was the first girl to have been born in the colonies.
That's correct.
That's a provable fact, I believe.
That part is correct, yes.
And so this was a myth, or this is a legend, because the way the Indians looked around the area?
The only thing they knew is, of course, the colony itself totally disappeared. And they came back years later, and they found evidence of Indians with blue eyes and blonde hair.
Well, why couldn't they have just taken one of the grown women?
I have no idea.
Hmm.
The Indians didn't say.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, Chris, after the first round, what's the score?
Yeah. I think the only thing I'm going to be doing in this show is scorekeeping. Jonathan, you're perfect at 30. Carmela, you're at 20. And I'm at goose egg. That's a zero for you listening at home.
To be fair to you.
So, yes.
Your strength in my mind is Civil War and later.
Yes, that's true.
Your American history knowledge from that period is outstanding.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how good you are at the pre-US.
I wasn't around then, so it's a little harder for me.
Yeah.
I popped in later on.
And so. I was around, and that's why it's easy for me.
See, there you go. He was there to witness it.
That's right.
Yes, true story.
Him and Peabody and Sherman.
All right, so what's the category for the second set of questions?
The next category is going to be the Revolutionary War.
Revolutionary, and this is another three questions?
It's another three questions.
Okay.
The Boston Massacre occurred on March the 5th, 1770. Which founding father defended the British soldiers during their trial?
Okay, I'm writing my answer in.
Oh, crap.
I wrote something down.
You're both locked in?
I am. I don't know about Chris.
I'm going to think about it for just another minute. I have something written down, but I'm kind of about it.
You know what? I've got an answer I'm going to write down.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess I'll talk about it then.
I'm in.
Okay, because some of the famous, lawyers of the time, John Adams was the first one that kind of popped up a little bit, but he was so against British rule in the first place. That was the one I wrote down, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not comfortable with that answer. I almost want to say it's John Jay, who was the very first Supreme Court Justice, which we talked about in an episode, probably about a good 15, 20 episodes ago. And so my answer, actually, I've talked myself into it, is going to be John Jay.
Carmela?
All right. I went with, based on location and the fact that he was a lawyer, I said John Adams.
John Adams was a lawyer in Boston, so I said John Adams.
The correct answer is John Adams.
Daggummit.
Chris, you literally talked yourself out of the right answer there.
I did. But he had such, he had such a hatred.
But he's a lawyer.
I'm not disagreeing.
He has to do it.
Well, but, he doesn't have to do it. But
he had a very strong.
Not like he's a doctor.
He had a very strong feeling for what was right and what the law required.
Yeah.
And he actually got them acquitted, although one was later convicted of manslaughter.
Sure.
Wow.
Okay. But we've had the answer before of who was the first person shot.
That's a good one. Crispus Attucks.
Yes, Crispus Attucks.
I was going to say Crispin.
He was a freedman. He was a freed slave.
It's Attucks, Attucks.
Attucks.
Attucks, that's right. Now, that was I didn't know that John Adams defended that group. That's really interesting to me.
Yeah. Next question. What misnamed Revolutionary War battle actually occurred on Breed's Hill?
Locked.
3-2-1?
Well, I'm afraid to go 3-2-1 because I haven't gotten an answer right, so I'd rather us just go through the
You've written yours down?
I have.
Carmella, you want to go 3-2-1?
Sure.
3-2-1.
Bunker Hill.
Oh, thank God. I wrote Bunker Hill also.
But you didn't have the stones to go 3-2-1 with us.
I've been goose egg so far.
Well, now you've got 10.
Now you're off the schneid.
When you go 5 or 4 in a row without answering anything, yeah, you would be doubting yourself also.
And who can tell me the famous saying that came out of that?
Don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes.
Good for you, Carl.
Really? I thought that was the Battle of New Orleans.
Balance, I tell you.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Yes, that came.
That's not the Battle of New Orleans.
No.
All right.
So next question.
All right.
In what Virginia community or town or city did the final action of the American Revolution take place?
Final action meaning?
Final military action.
That's as good an answer as any.
I think I know.
Glad you guys do. Man, I'm really feeling outgunned here.
I am locked in.
Carmella, are you locked in?
I'm locked.
Okay,
yeah.
Because you were starting to.
No, gave, I was thinking.
Stinky face.
Because I'm from Virginia originally, and I'm just like, what do I remember? And I'm like, yeah, I remember that, so I'm locked.
Because I was about to go into one of my famous things where I start talking about other stuff and then lead into it, but I'm afraid to because that other stuff might end up being questions later on. I don't want to give you guys any more help than you already have because you guys are nailing it.
Well, judging by how we're doing so far, what you say isn't going to be what helps us.
That's probably a fair answer, too.
You've only got me on the Virginia Dare thing.
I'm going to say Charlottesville.
Okay. Carmella?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Yorktown.
Cornwallis surrendered at Yorktown. So I'd say Yorktown.
I didn't realize Yorktown was in Virginia. That's interesting.
There's a Yorktown, New York, but Yorktown, Virginia.
It didn't even matter. That part of the question was less important than it's the last action. So the fact that it was Virginia was tangential.
Cornwallis was surrounded and laid siege to, and the French fleet came to the Americans' aid and forced the surrender.
Okay. So after two rounds, Jonathan's pitching a perfect game with 60. Carmella's one off with 50, and I am way behind waving like a little boy going with 10.
Okay. Now we're going to do the post-Revolutionary War period.
Post-Revolutionary. Okay.
Next, and it's going to be 3 more questions, and then I've got a doozy of a halftime question for you.
Ooh. Oh, like not the rest hard. Of us haven't been doozy so far.
Not hard, but fun. I think it's a lot of fun. Okay. How many stripes does the Star-Spangled Banner have?
Currently?
No, the flag known as the Star-Spangled Banner, the one that flew over Fort McHenry.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
How many stripes does the Star-Spangled Banner have?
I wrote down an answer. I'll lock it in.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'm locked in, too.
Well, initially, you want to say 13. I mean, that's always been what the Stars and Stripes have had. It's the 13 stripes for the original colonies. I'm going to go 13.
I said 13.
If you have the opportunity to see it at the Smithsonian Institution, they raise up the protective barricade for it once an hour. It has 15 stripes.
15?
Because they were in the process of doing a stripe and a star for every state.
Oh.
They were by the time of Fort McHenry, they had 15 states. They realized that this flag was going to get awfully big the way things were going. And that's when they changed it back to stars and 13 stripes.
Wow. Really? I learned something there. I never knew we had an American flag with 15 stripes.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That is cool. Well, I want a picture of that in the show notes, Chris.
I will try
they,
to make
they
note
actually
of that.
Have they have a picture of it, and it's really neat. And if you see it in person, it's huge. It was really a very large
flag.
Can you
imagine how big that flag would be? It's like, man, there's like 50.
Or really thin lines.
Yeah, can you imagine that? Okay.
It's like an ugly shirt.
So the next
that a country
question,
singer would wear.
What's that?
It's, Chris wow. said it looks like a really ugly shirt.
When did our country? When did our flag become flannel?
Okay. There was a number of early American novelists that really have kind of defined what we consider as American literature. One of my personal favorites wrote a series of books called The Leather Stocking Tales, which told us the history of Natty Bumppo, otherwise known as Hawkeye. I want to know the name of the author.
Locked in.
Locked in.
You locked in before I even finished the question.
You're right.
Yeah, I was...
Well, your questions are really long, so it's pretty easy. Well,
I was waiting for him to finish asking it, so I didn't write it down, and then you fussed at me for writing stuff down, but I knew the answer before the beginning also.
You did it right.
Okay.
I don't know this.
Oh, boy. You're lucky he didn't make you name Natty Bumppo.
Or spell it.
Which, I'm telling you, Natty Bumppo was badass.
He was.
And I hate that his name is such a... Such a hobbit name.
I really don't know.
Talk it out.
And they refer to him as Hawkeye, or is that another character in the book?
That's the same character.
Same character, just different name.
Yes.
Okay. Thoreau, I don't know. So I'm going to say Thoreau.
Want to say it together?
3, 2, 1.
James Cooper. Fenimore Cooper.
Okay.
That's right.
I went. Sorry. Are you okay with me going last name?
Totally.
Okay.
And The Last of the Mohicans
yes.
was the first one he wrote.
Wonderful book if you ever get the chance to read it.
What's interesting, though, if you've seen the movie or movies, there's been 4 or 5 versions of it. In the book, they get captured and escape about 20 times more than they do in the movie.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'd say that much, but
no, I'm being,
it's a different story. But the story in the book is compelling. The movies are compelling, too. It's good movies, but the book is really good on its own right.
Jonathan, do you remember the name of the final one he wrote?
Let's see. He did...
Last of the Mohicans Part 2.
Right? No, really, The Last of the Mohicans.
The Last of
there
the
are
last.
No, there are no more Mohicans.
There will be Mohicans.
Hold on. He did... Crap. What are the names of those books? No, I'm drawing blanks on them.
The last one was called The Plainsman.
I was... There's another podcast that I heard a long time ago. And they were doing jokes about unnecessary prequels. And there was an unnecessary prequel for The Last of the Mohicans. It was called There Are Plenty of Mohicans.
Oh, goodness. All right. So the last question going
last,
into that.
Last question in the category of post-Revolutionary War. What waterway was dug in upstate Pennsylvania, which was one of the beginnings of travel to the western part of the country.
All right, I'm locked in.
That was fast. All right, I'm locked in too.
The only thing I can think that might be the answer was like the Erie Canal. Is there an Erie Canal? I want to say there's an Erie Canal.
We're not going to tell you.
I know you're not going to tell me.
It's like you're talking yourself.
I am talking funny. To myself. This is actually how I think sometimes.
What do you think, Carmella? I don't know, Carmella. What do you think?
Just a little bit crazy. I'm going to say Erie Canal.
Okay. I said Erie Canal.
I, on the other hand, said Erie Canal.
It was the Erie Canal.
All right.
It was one of the first examples of an effort to... Because you could do so much more on a waterway than you could on a roadway. The Erie Canal really allowed a lot of people to start expanding out west, and it put them into Ohio and other areas in the Midwest. Ohio. And that's one of the things that started the move towards the western expansion.
And it really connected people to the Great Lakes. So it went from the Great Lakes to the Atlantic.
Yes, exactly.
And so once you hit the Great Lakes, right. They're all connected. They're just at different layers. So once you're sailing there, you can sail to the other end, get off, climb up, and put out again.
Well, one of the cool things about the Erie Canal is...
Hey, I don't need that laugh out of you.
One of the cool things about the Erie Canal is that they used mules to pull the barges along. Okay.
All right. So going into halftime, Jonathan has a pretty decent lead, 80. Carmel, you have 60, and I am still lagging behind, waving at 30.
You're going to come back.
All right. Here's your halftime question. there were a number of former generals which became president. You're going to get 2 points for each one you get correct. You need to get 10 out of the 12. And if you get all 12 correct, you will get an additional bonus of 5 points.
Anybody think they're going to get all 12?
No.
We're looking for presidents, right?
Presidents. They were former generals.
U.S. presidents, right?
Yes.
Obama wasn't a general, was he?
Who?
General Mayhem.
I'm not even close to 10.
I've got 8 definites and a 9th that I'm thinking about right now.
I'm on 7 right now.
I have 4.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like a bad sign. Mm. Luckily for us, with the way the question is worded, you have 12 guesses.
We're talking generals, not like admirals or anything like that, right? Just generals?
Any kind of a general.
I don't know. You have been an admiral.
Well, because, you know, 3 branches call them generals, but you have 1 branch that wouldn't call them a general.
Right, but I'm saying I don't think we've had any admirals who became president. All right, I've got my 12.
All right, I'm pretty sure about half of those are wrong, but I'm locked in.
Okay,
everybody ready?
All right, Eisenhower, George Washington, both Harrisons, William Henry and the other one. Teddy
Who's
Roosevelt.
The other one? You need his name because there's 2 of them.
Both of them, though.
But like you said, you need his name.
I said both of them. I'm not excluding one or the other. Like, for example, I'm about to say Teddy Roosevelt. If I just said Roosevelt, then that's not right because Franklin Delano could have been it, and he wasn't. As a matter of fact, he was part of the Navy, though.
All right, I'll let it go.
Anyway, U.S. Grant, James K. Polk, Andrew Jackson, Chester A. Arthur, and then I was really struggling. And so I wrote Thomas Jefferson down because I don't think he did, but yeah, what the heck.
Chip, after counting those up, how many did he get?
How many did he get correct?
Mm-hmm.
None.
7.
7. Okay.
All right.
Carmella.
All right. George Washington, Ulysses S. Grant, Dwight Eisenhower, Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
Franklin Pierce.
Okay.
John Quincy Adams.
Okay.
Grover Cleveland, William Henry Harrison, Calvin Coolidge, Theodore Roosevelt, William Taft, and I can't remember Garfield's first name, but Garfield.
James.
James Garfield.
James A.
A.
All right. So.
Okay. You want to know how many she got?
Yes, please. Quite a few, I thought. At least as many as Chris.
She got 7.
Yeah.
Oh.
So. The interesting one that I left off before I read my list was Teddy. I'm pretty sure he made himself a colonel for the Rough Riders. I don't think he was a general.
Interesting. Okay.
So I said Washington, Jackson, William Henry Harrison, Ulysses S. Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes.
Dad! I couldn't remember Sideburns, dude.
James A. Garfield, Benjamin Harrison, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Zachary Taylor. And then my 3 guesses were Franklin Pierce, Tyler, and Polk.
Okay. You got 10 right.
And the answers are?
Okay. And I'm going to do these in order in which they became president.
Great.
Okay.
Cool.
Because all of them had been a general prior to being president. George Washington, Andrew Jackson, William Henry Harrison, Zachary Taylor. Franklin Pierce, the one I didn't get and none of you got, Andrew Johnson.
Really?
Lincoln's
no kidding.
Vice President.
Johnson was a general?
He was a general, but wow. He was one of those that never had a command where he commanded troops. He was like a aide-de-camp or something like that. I knew that was going to be hard, but it doesn't punish you for not getting it.
Yeah. No.
What a...
Ulysses Grant... Rutherford B. Hayes. Jonathan's the only one who got that one. James A. Garfield. Benjamin Harrison. And Dwight Eisenhower. I'm sorry, I didn't...
You skipped a couple.
I didn't mention Chester Arthur.
Chester Arthur was a general?
Chester Arthur was a general.
He was a freaking bureaucrat.
And that's the kind of general he was.
I did not realize he was in the military.
Remember, especially in the Civil War, there was a lot of generals that didn't do anything but just bureaucrat and do paperwork.
No, but I mean, he was a nepotism kind of guy.
Right.
I would never have guessed Arthur was a general. I've even heard it said that Garfield was the last Civil War general, because they did general, general, general all in a row.
Yeah.
And I had heard it said that Garfield was the last one to become president. So, guess that was wrong. Mm.
So, okay, so going into the second half, Jonathan's up 100 to Carmella's 74 to my 44.
All right.
All right, the next series of questions are latter half of the 1900s, 19th century, 1800s.
So Civil War through
1800s.
So Civil War so through pre-Civil the
War?
Century?
Civil War, yeah, okay. Pre-Civil War on to the turn of the century.
Oh, okay. So it's okay. All of 19th century.
Well, I didn't want to I could have thrown a whole bunch of Civil War questions out, but I didn't really think that was fair. So I've got some others.
It's a pretty big event.
Only my strengths.
I think you're going to do a lot better in the second half.
All right. Well, let's find out.
All right.
Okay. First off, a Civil War question. What battle is considered the turning point of the American Civil War?
Okay. Locked in.
The turning point.
I really don't think this is right, but I'm going to write it down.
So it's going to be a Union victory, and that means that it was during the period where the South was pressing up further and further north. And that means a little. Gettysburg keeps dominating my mind right now. I don't think it's Antietam. I don't think it's Shiloh. I don't think it's those other big battles. Fredericksburg keeps coming to mind. So many people got mowed down at Fredericksburg. But I'm going to go with Gettysburg.
Carmella?
I also said Gettysburg. It was the only thing I could think of at the time.
Yeah, it was absolutely Gettysburg. It was the first time that they moved up north. They were torn back after just 3 days of hellacious fighting.
And they just got destroyed. A Pickett's charge, like, took an army out.
Yeah, I mean, that, and also it's just like Lee threw, I mean, and you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, but Lee threw everything he had at Gettysburg and then was turned back. And so my answer was Gettysburg.
Absolutely. Gettysburg was one of those that everything seemed to be going on the way of the South. It was their second invasion of the North, the first one being Antietam. The biggest difference in Gettysburg is Lee was never able to recover the losses that he made during that fight.
They did a great movie based on the Killer Angels by
absolutely.
What was his name? Shara, I think his name
Michael
is.
Yeah, Michael Shara wrote the
Killer
Angels.
The Gettysburg book that they
it's
did
a
based on that.
Book.
Really, really good movie too. It was long.
Well,
it was 4 hours.
Well, they ended up making a mini TNT. Like originally was supposed to make it into a miniseries and shrunk it down just a little bit to release it in the theaters as a very long, three hours and plus movie.
As a teenager, seeing that, I liked it. I learned a lot from it.
Well. As a Civil War history buff, I was impressed because I'd seen so many Civil War movies, and I didn't expect much. And I came out of there just awestruck by how well done it was done.
Jeff Daniels was in that movie.
Absolutely.
It was just amazing.
Did a good job.
They did a terrific job. They did a follow-up called Gods and Generals.
Yeah, that wasn't nearly as good.
It wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Well, that was also off of a Scherer book, too, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
All right, next question.
And now his son's writing a whole bunch of books. So, okay. 5440 or fight was a slogan that arose during the middle of the 1800s and pertained to the northern boundary of the Oregon Territory. Which European power did the United States want to fight?
Oof. I'm locking in an answer. I was literally just reading about this the other day, and I know more about what it is now than I would have maybe a week ago, but I didn't focus on what the other power was, so I'm hoping that I remembered it correctly. Ironically, while they're thinking, the president, and I don't remember which one it was, but the president used that slogan to get elected. And then immediately gave in and didn't hold to it.
I'm locked in, even though I really don't like the answer.
Carmella, are you ready?
I got to think about it.
Jonathan, you're locked in, right?
Yeah, they're both locked in.
Okay.
So you said it's Oregon. So that's going to be on the west side of the United States. And
West Side.
Which makes me think that it has to do with whoever had Canada at the time.
Okay.
And I want to say British Columbia is on the west side of Canada. So I'm going to say that the European power was Britain.
Jonathan?
I said France.
Okay. Let's see. And I went a completely different way. I didn't think it was France because we never really got into a scuffle with France at all. They helped us out.
Really?
A little bit. Yeah. Well, the French-Indian War.
French-Indian War.
Right. But that was...
We fought with them over France, over Canada quite a bit.
So...
But what did you put?
I put Spain.
That was actually the other one I was fighting back and forth with in my mind.
The other answer I wrote down, but obviously I didn't go with it because it said European power, was I thought it might be Russia because of just Alaska. As much territory that they owned over there. So, but I put Spain.
The answer was Great Britain.
Ah,
wow. Nice job.
Carmelo was exactly right.
Yeah.
In that the British obviously controlled Canada at the time.
Yeah.
And what was interesting, as you said, it was Zachary Taylor.
It's Taylor.
And Taylor made this a big, big deal. And 5440, of course, was the latitude.
It's all the way up to where Alaska starts, isn't it?
It's not that far, but
it's pretty high up there.
Further than it was. And they have now settled on what we have
52,
today,
which I think.
The 49th parallel.
49th?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Carmella.
Nice job,
Good job. Carmella.
Because Vancouver is in British Columbia, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And Vancouver's on the west side.
West side.
Okay. So that is the second question of this period. And here's the third question. Who was the only president to serve two non-consecutive terms?
Locked.
I'm locked in.
I know I'm struggling with, I mean, the weird part is one, my confidence is fleeting. It's hurting. It's really hurting them badly.
It could have been somebody.
But the interesting part is I know a lot about this person. This person actually, when he went into office the first time around, was not married. He was an unmarried person. And then later on married his best friend's youngest daughter that was like 20 to 30 years younger than he was. And I believe it was James A. It was Arthur. I'm not going by the first name. It was Arthur.
Okay, it's Grover Cleveland.
Crap a dog!
Grover Cleveland.
It was Grover Cleveland.
I was right about everything else, just wrong about the daggum name.
Was he the one who married the girl and everything?
I think your story is accurate.
No,
I think
it's 100%
totally
right. Because
for Cleveland or for Arthur?
For Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
I botched up the name.
Mm.
No.
That's actually the period you were talking about, too, the period in time it goes... Garfield, Arthur, Cleveland, Harrison, Cleveland, McKinley, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Okay.
There's a great old movie. It's a musical. It's called The One and Only Genuine Original Family Band. It's an old Disney movie from maybe the 70s or the 80s. Really, I watched that movie a ton. It was very entertaining for me when I was a 10-year-old or something like that. And one of the primary plot points was these people in North Dakota or South Dakota and the election between Cleveland and Harrison. And that was one of the elections where the popular vote gave a different outcome than the Electoral College. And so there's a big brawl at the end of the movie because one group saying we won and the other group was saying we won. And so that's why I liked it as a kid, because it was a big fight at the end. But that was also one of those situations that you realize later, oh, that's a true story. That really happened.
So after four rounds, Jonathan's still up 120. Carmella caught up a little bit. She has 104. I am really lagging behind. Jonathan, you have doubled me up. I am at 54.
Okay. We're moving on to the beginning of the 20th century.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
In 1906, an earthquake and fire devastated what large American city?
Okay, locked in.
3-2-1?
You want a 3-2-1 or no?
No. Let me think about it for a minute.
I'm in. So feel free to talk about it.
Okay. Well, if it's an earthquake and fire, it's got to be somewhere out west, right? So the only place I can really think of that makes any sense is San Francisco, but I'm not sure if that's right, which is why I didn't want to do a 3-2-1 with you guys, but I'm going to say San Francisco.
I said San Francisco.
Wow. I am just off my game.
You said Chicago, didn't you?
I said Chicago, the Great Chicago Fire. It was the earthquake part of it. That was 1903, wasn't it?
I don't remember what year the Chicago was, but...
The Chicago fire occurred in the latter half of the 1800s.
Yeah.
The San Francisco earthquake and fire, everybody thinks of the earthquake, but it was the fire that was truly devastating.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it lit the main. It
was
the
in 1906
mains,
when that
the
occurred.
The gas mains and stuff.
Okay, again, we're into the early part of the 20th century. This one I think is going to be a little tough for you, but maybe not. You guys surprised me a lot. Carmela, you've really done a good job. I think you're doing
Carmela's impressing
well.
The heck out of me.
Yeah, she's doing well.
I had faith with you from the beginning.
Aw,
so.
Thank you.
Chris wishes he had invited you to be his teammate as opposed to a as a contestant.
The one versus one was my yes. idea.
All right, so what's the question?
What was the name of the luxury ocean liner that was torpedoed by a German U-boat in 1916 that helped lead to the United States entry into World War I?
I'm locked in.
Think this could be a 3-2-1, right?
Well,
no, these guys are kind of chicken lately.
Well, I'm completely chicken on it. I said the Britannia.
It's the Lusitania.
Lusitania.
Next question. On what charge was Al Capone finally sent to prison for a lengthy sentence?
Okay.
Locked.
Yeah, me too.
So the way this went was they knew that he was guilty of murder, of racketeering, of sale of alcohol, all the different, he had plenty of crimes against him, but they couldn't pin him to anything. And they finally went after him fiscally and got him for tax evasion. And they sent him, to a prison for 11 years. And at first he was in a basic prison that had like a personal bathroom and all kinds of other amenities. And eventually they moved him to Alcatraz where he had to end up with the rest of the population.
Yeah.
So it was a tax evasion.
Yeah, and he ended up dying in prison too. Correct?
No. He finished his life as a resident in Miami.
Oh.
And he imagined that there were hired killers after him all the time. He was very unhappy in the final years of his life.
Anyway, I wrote tax evasion.
Tax evasion.
All right.
Yeah, he had contacted syphilis as a young man, never got treated for it.
Mm.
And so they said he had the brain power of a 12-year-old. At this point, at the end of his life.
So he was hallucinating.
Oh, yeah. He was totally out of it.
So after five rounds, Jonathan's up 150 to Carmela's 134 to my 64.
Okay. The sixth round is going to be primarily World War II and later.
Okay. Modern history. Oxymoron if I've ever heard one.
The first question is, during what battle was the U.S. flag raised over Mount Suribachi?
Ooh.
I wrote something down. I'm locked in.
I was thinking about Dien Bien Phu, and I was thinking about some other Korean Vietnamese war era things, but the fact that both of them got it so quickly made me rethink that, and I'm going to say Iwo Jima.
I said Iwo Jima.
And I said Iwo Jima.
It was Iwo Jima.
I wasn't going to get that right, but you guys got it so fast that I knew it couldn't have been what I was thinking.
Well, that
I had
was
to rethink
the
it.
Famous picture.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That we've seen the Marine Corps Memorial is depicted showing them raising the flag.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. Okay. I want to know the name of the American general that was designated as the supreme commander of all Allied forces in Europe during World War II.
In Europe.
He wasn't the overall commander of all forces, but he was the supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe during World War II.
All of World War II? Or did this position
change?
No,
he actually...
Because it feels like this more than one person.
He gained this position in 1944.
Okay.
Prior to D-Day.
Okay.
That's a clue.
Yeah, thank you. All right, I wrote down my answer. This is a really good question. I like this one a lot.
Okay, I'm locked in.
So, I'm going through all the famous officers I know from World War II. So, you've got Nimitz, and you've got MacArthur, and you've got Eisenhower, and Bradley, and Doolittle. MacArthur, I want to say, was in charge of the Pacific Theater, so I don't think it's him. Eisenhower eventually became a 5-star general, which makes me think he might have been over everybody, but he's the only one I can think of that would fit. So I'm going to say Eisenhower.
Jonathan?
I had 3 names rolling around. I had Patton, I had Eisenhower, and I had MacArthur. And I agree that MacArthur ended up in the Pacific Theater, but I think that was for the Korean War. So I said MacArthur for this question.
Okay. MacArthur was in the Pacific, so that's why I didn't go with him. Patton, I knew, had a falling from grace. Eisenhower, I knew he was in the mix, but I wasn't exactly sure where he was. I actually went with Marshall.
Hmm.
So anyway, so the answer is?
Carmella again.
Eisenhower.
It's Eisenhower?
It's Eisenhower.
Wow. Marshall was the Army Chief of Staff, and he dearly wanted this job when it was given to Eisenhower.
That's
what Roosevelt said, I cannot afford to have you away from me during the course of the war.
Okay.
As basically, as Army Chief of Staff, he commanded all Army troops everywhere. Eisenhower commanded all the Allies. That means Canadians, French, Americans, British. And he was the commander of what was called SHAFE, which is Supreme Headquarters Allied Expeditionary Force.
I overthought it, I think. Well, we all went a different direction, but one of us went the right direction.
Woo-hoo!
Good job there. Yeah. All right, what's the last question of the round?
Okay, yeah. This is the last question before the final question.
Okay.
And this one is kind of fun. This one is actually covers a couple of centuries, and I just thought it was kind of a fun question, and I'm also going to give you 2 points if you can answer a follow-up question to this.
Okay.
We'll be the judge of that.
We have had 2 sets of father-son presidents combinations. Okay? I want to know their names.
Okay.
And then if you can do it, I'd like you, and this will be the extra points, I'd like the name of the 1 grandfather-grandson combination.
So say the first part of the question for me again.
Okay. There have been two sets of father and son presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the second part is there was 1 situation where we had a grandfather grandson.
Okay.
And that's an extra credit one.
And I'm going to assume based on the question, you're going to want first and last names.
Going to need first and last names. Yes.
I'm thinking all about right. The follow-up question.
I'm locked in.
Completely.
Yep. Got all 3.
I'm locked in. You can go ahead and talk.
All right. So for your first questions, you first had the Adams. You had John Adams as number 2. You had John Quincy Adams as number 7.
6.
Is it 6? I thought it was 7, but okay.
Andrew Jackson, 7.
I thought Aunt Jackson was 8.
No, he's 7. Martin Van Buren is 8.
Wow. Check out the big brain on her.
What about Morticia Adams?
She's number Gomez. 1 in my heart.
Gomez Adams.
All right. So then you had the 2 Bushes. You had George Herbert Walker, and then you had George Walker. So, or W. Then you had the Harrisons, and we talked about the Harrisons earlier. You have William Henry was the first one, and then you had the second Harrison, who Jonathan said his full name just a little while ago. And guess what I'm having trouble with? Remembering his daggum first name again.
You need to say his name.
I know that.
Okay.
But the problem is James Harrison, football player for the Pittsburgh Steelers, keeps coming into my head. And I know it's not James Harrison.
That wasn't him, no.
I realize that, but I'm just telling you what's in my head right now, and James Harrison will not get out of my head. So I'm just going to take the 10 points. I can't think of the name. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. You want to go next? Or you want me to go?
Go for it.
All right. So I said John Adams and John Quincy Adams for the first set, George Herbert Walker Bush and George Walker Bush for the second set. And then I did say William Henry Harrison and Benjamin Harrison for the grandson, grandfather team.
And I said the exact same thing that Carmella said.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
All right. So going into the final question, Jonathan is up 172. Carmella caught up. She's at 166. Whoa. And I am back at 84.
I'm only 6 points behind
you. How did you get that close to me?
She's been on a tear. Are you kidding me?
She actually nailed every question in the second half.
Don't stand so. Don't stand so.
You're the creepy old teacher.
So close
and I'm
to
the schoolgirl. That I don't like that at all.
Carmella, you got some of my tougher questions, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you tell us what the category was?
I'm going to guess it's American history.
Well, I know, but you know, he's been real specific as to
what period of time.
I'll be even better. It's 20th century American history.
Okay.
So the problem with this is this might be imminently gettable.
Yeah.
And
are you going to trust that I might not beat you?
No, I think it's very possible you might beat me.
She came to play.
This is a no joke situation here. All right, I've got my wager written down too. Yep.
All right, so hit us up.
I need to have you put these in chronological order. Four items. First item is television successfully demonstrated. Second item, the stock market crash. Third item, the NFL named. Last one is prohibition started.
And you want it earliest to latest, right?
I want it earliest to latest, yes.
Prohibition started?
That was the last one I gave you.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So go over them again, please.
Okay. Number one, television successfully demonstrated. Number two, stock market crash. Number three, NFL named. Number four, prohibition started.
All right. That's as close as I'm going to get. I'm locked.
I'm so frustrated by this because maybe 20 times I've had questions about the beginning origins of the NFL, and I've never taken the time to really get that ingrained so that I know exactly when it was started and when it was named and all that. So now I don't know again. And it drives me nuts that that's going to be the thing that keeps me from being confident about something.
Okay, I'm locked in.
Okay, so here's my struggle. Prohibition was 1918. Stock market crash was 1929. I'm pretty sure the TV demos was somewhere between 1937 and 1942, somewhere like that. The NFL, I have no idea. I know the Super Bowl started in the early 60s, but the American Football League existed before that, and I believe the National Football League existed before that, too. The NFL is older than the AFL. I don't know if it had its name or when it got its name. It could be the 50s or the 40s, and I'd still put it last. But if I put it anything other than last, it looks like these things are 10 years apart. The 18, 29, 40. So then it would make sense for the NFL to be 50 or somewhere along that line. But it could be freaking 1909. Oh, all right. I'm going to go ahead and say my order is prohibition, stock market, TVs are demoed, the NFL's named.
All right. I went prohibition, stock crash, stock market crash, NFL named, and television.
Okay. Well, I definitely won't be winning because I went the exact same way with that Carmelo did. I went prohibition was 1918, stock market 1929, NFL... I believe had its 75th anniversary about 10 years ago. So I was looking at about 1933, 34 in that area. And then television, I really couldn't figure it out. I know that it wasn't until the very late 40s, if not early 50s, that it was actually being used in American homes. So I was figuring that it was probably demonstrated in probably the 1940s World's Fair or something like that. So that's why I went with fourth.
Okay. I think you'll be surprised at some of these. Incidentally, the information I had on prohibition, the amendment changed in 1918. Prohibition itself did not start until 1920. Not that it matters. It was still the very first one.
How could it start in 20 if it ended in 21?
Because it was a constitutional amendment.
Still, that's interesting. Okay.
So it started in 1920. NFL first named 1922.
Whoa, mother puss bucket.
Television successfully demonstrated 1927.
Whoa.
No, 1929.
Stock market crash 1929.
Wow, I was completely wrong except for the first part.
It all comes down to the wagers.
All right.
Carmella, what did you wager?
I wagered 20.
You wagered 20.
So I was at 166, so now I'm at 146.
So you're hoping that I had to go as high as I could to make sure that you couldn't win,
mm-hmm.
and that would cost me the game.
Right.
Chris, what did you wager?
I bet zero.
Bet zero.
No, I'm sorry. I have zero. I bet 89.
Oh, you bet everything.
I don't blame you. There was a chance you were going to get it right, yeah, and you could have been in the lead.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was thinking either way. I was thinking you guys were going to bet so much that it might counteract, or it was going to be the opposite way. And I was like, you know what? All guts, no glory. You went zero, didn't you?
No.
You didn't?
No.
That really surprised me a little bit.
I went 13.
You went
13. Oh, wow.
That's good. That's good. That's smart.
13. Mm-hmm. So I finished with
159.
159.
Wow. And you beat me by 13 points.
Yeah. Jonathan, you were...
I kept up, though.
Part of what you were working on, the NFL started earlier than that.
Well, I knew the football, the organization started
early.
Well earlier, but
it didn't get the name the NFL until 22.
22. So the year after Prohibition ended, they started the NFL. So people were allowed to drink, and they said, we want football.
Or they went, what's football?
But the one that surprised me was television.
Yeah.
Successfully demonstrated.
I knew it was going to be a few years before it became mainstream, but I was in the same place you were. I was thinking maybe 10 years before.
I didn't realize it was 15 years.
Well, and when I say successfully demonstrated, I don't mean that everybody had it at a home.
No, no. You mean successfully demonstrated.
Right. You were able to watch it.
It was at a World's Fair or something.
I'm sure it was.
I really thought that television and the NFL were in the 30s, which is why I put them where I did. Because I knew the prohibition and the stock market were both in the 20s, and I knew stock market was the last year of the 20s. So I really thought they were the next decade. Well,
so you know what that means.
So Jonathan,
so you know what that means.
Well, I was going to give the scores, Jonathan, if that's okay with you, sir.
Could you give the scores, please, Chris?
Absolutely. Chris ended with zero. Carmella ended with 146 and a great showing for the first time playing solo.
Woohoo!
And Jonathan Oakes, 159 points. So now you can say that.
You know what that means.
I do know what it means.
Carmella, do you know what it means?
I know what it means.
Chip, do you know what it means?
I know what it means.
What does it mean?
It means another win for Jonathan.
And I'm actually willing to say it. It's another win for Jonathan. But I kept up, and you impressed me with everything that you knew.
I'm not willing to say it this time around.
Come on, mister.
No, I'm pouting.
Sour grapes.
I'm absolutely pouting.
Carmella,
I want you to think of sour grapes.
I put
some lemon juice on it and then put some grapefruit juice on it. I want it to be sour.
I have a little niece named Megan who listens to the show.
Yes.
And her favorite part of the show is after I win when you have to say that. Megan, I'm sorry. Chris won't say it. I can't force
him. Hey, you've had two other people say it, Megan, so enjoy that. So there you go.
So we have a Warhead of the Week. No pun intended.
Yeah.
It is Steve Thompson.
Hey, Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Hello, Steve.
When Steve signed up to be a Warhead, he made a great comment about binge listening and said that he had been, when he found the show, he just listened to a whole bunch of them right in a row. I really love hearing that. That's a great thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry. You're boring me, Jonathan. You're boring me. Clitus, I'm bored.
And we don't have any new reviews, unfortunately.
Okay. Carmella, do you have any more reviews?
10 out of 10 would have Chip host again.
Oh, as long as you can answer his questions.
Yes.
All right, Chris, get us out of here.
All right. Well,
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Don't forget to hang out with us at the Trivial Warfare Army Facebook group. You can find that just by searching on Facebook for Trivial Warfare Army. All right, Chris, now please get us out of here.
Yes, sir. All right. You can contact Jonathan at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. Again, that's trivialwarfare@gmail.com. If you have a warm it up Chris question for me, or if you want to tell me how much I stink after that performance, you can email me at warmitupchris@yahoo.com. Again, that is warmitupchris, all one word, and Chris spelled C-H-R-I-S @yahoo.com. Uncle Chip, nice job.
Thank you, sir.
Good to have you here when I'm actually here instead of in travel land. And I was in travel land last time. Carmella, well done. Very nice solo performance.
Thank you.
I will try to do better against you next time. And it was another win for Jonathan.
Yay!
So until next time, that's Chip, that's Carmella, that's Jonathan, and I'm Chris. This is Trivia Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Take care, everybody.
This episode is history.
Oh,
Well, let me tell you a question that I asked my wife, and she got this right, and I was really surprised at it.
Will you marry me?
No. I was surprised at that.